You can be seated, and today we're going to have, we have a couple special treats for you. First and foremost, Carlos here leading worship is helping us out while Rachel's away. If you haven't heard the news, I heard a few people say, I didn't know. Rachel had the baby, our fourth baby, just a week and a half ago. She's here as well, but we're taking a little couple weeks off, so Carlos is helping with worship. We also have Pastor J.D., who's from Cornerstone, right down the road. He's on staff there. He's been doing ministry for 18 years, full-time ministry. I know he doesn't look that old. He started in elementary school, and now he's been doing full-time ministry. I'm kidding about it. But 18 years in full-time ministry, married, two kids, great man. Gotten to connect with him over the last couple months and even had lunch with him this past week and really get to connect and really befriend him. And I'm so excited for what he's going to bring for us today. I heard it already, so I'm like, I already know. I'm really, really excited. I kind of told everyone in faith first service, but now I know it's going to be really, really good. So take notes. Receive what God has for you, because I believe God wants to speak something. He wants every single one of us to leave here a little bit more like Jesus or a lot more like Jesus when we leave here today. But I'm just excited because Cornerstone and us and several other churches locally, we've been working together, just being in prayer together, really seeking how do we be in unity, stop competing with one another, and sharing resources, sharing and working together for the kingdom of God to get bigger and for the kingdom of hell to get smaller. Because here's the reality, there are tens of thousands of people right around this community and this surrounding area that don't know Jesus or are not connected to a life-giving church. We want to help work together so that more people could enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen? How many of you are on board with that mission? Right? We're going to work together. So Pastor JD, Pastor Paul, the lead pastor, he's like, I'm going to send you JD. He's the best. And I asked for him, send me the best. I don't want your crumbs. I want the best. And we got the best that is to offer. So JD, come on up. I'm going to pray. And then we'll welcome him. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this building we get to worship in, God, that we can worship you. God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the gift that Pastor JD is to your kingdom. God, I pray you'd speak through him today. God, use him mightily. Let us receive what it is you have for each and every one of us. I pray you would receive all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you. Hey, wait, before you go down. So this morning, he texted me. He's like, what are you going to wear? I was like, I don't know. What do you want to wear? And he's like, what do we coordinate? I was like, all right, sounds good.
Don't lie.
All right, I'm totally lying. We just showed up, and I go, you have got to be kidding me right now. So this was just complete coincidence, but like-minded, brother. All right, yes, absolutely. Hey, thank you, Pastor Eric, for having me. My name is JD. I'm at Cornerstone. It's good to be with you. I want to say a special thanks and congratulations to Eric and Rachel for baby Brielle. She is sitting right over here. You can't see her, but she looks a little something like that. And so we are so excited for you. And, you now have four kids. You know what that means? Zero sleep is what that means. And you asked me to speak, and I'm going to take that in faith as a compliment and not as a result of sleep deprivation. Okay, so hopefully you made the right call by having me come today. Hey, what Eric and Rachel and this entire church is trying to build is something real. This is not a joke. They're not playing church. This is the real deal. I got to meet him, and Pastor Eric, I will tell you, the same guy I've gotten to listen. This is actually my first time ever in the building, to other than this past week. I stopped in for 5 minutes. But this is my first time ever in the building. So if you're new here, hey, I'm new too. So that's cool. But we are. I'm super glad to be a part of this, and I will tell you that I can read when people are different when they're on stage than when they're off stage. He is the same guy. He is the same guy that you get on stage and off stage, and I'm not just saying that. I really, really do mean that, and that is a big deal. And this church, if you are wondering what it's about, the vision statement is right there. This church, Pastor Eric and company, wants to be a church known to help people know God, to find freedom, to discover purpose, and to make an impact. We're not playing church. This is real. He wants, and this church wants to help you know God, like really know him, to find freedom, to be released from some stuff. We're actually going to talk about that today. To help determine and discover your God-given purpose so that you can go out into the world and not just be like, yeah, I want the church at Freedom Church, check. No, so you can go out into the world and make an impact, like a real one, a real one. And so it is an honor to be here. And so the question is, if we are at Freedom Church, and if one of the values of Freedom Church is to help people find freedom, then how do you go about finding freedom? Well, the answer is, you can't. Let's pray. Just kidding. No, there actually is a way, but the only way you can truly find freedom is if you determine the things that are keeping you from freedom. From freedom. And here's what I want you to know before we go any further. Today, whether you're in the room and you've been a Christian for a long time or you're watching online, I see you, sir, in your PJs. Yes, I do. Whether you're been here forever, whether you're brand new, I know there's some new faces here today. I'm so glad that we get to do this together. Whether you just accepted Jesus or whether you walked in the door and you're not 100% sure why you're here today, but you're here. I believe that God is going to speak to you in some way through his word today. And so the reason I think that is because the thing we're going to be talking about, it's not just a Bible thing. No, it's more than just a Bible thing. The thing we're going to talk about today is a human thing. It's something that each and every one of us deals with and that we have, that we struggle through. And so if we want to find freedom, what do we need to do to find freedom? Well, I want to give it to you. Are you guys ready? This is like a big moment. Are you ready to hear how to find freedom? Okay. The answer is through self-discipline. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. You're not super excited about that. That's not true. Some people in this room are excited to talk about self-discipline. There's two camps here. There's the people that are in camp number one, and they're like, I love self-discipline. I am a super disciplined person. In fact, I meal prep every Sunday night before the week. Like, I'm that person, right? There's somebody in here who's like, you know what? I write in my journal every morning at 5 a.m., okay? There are people who are like, I have a system for everything, right? There are people in this room right now that you are so excited because you are mentally categorizing where your self-discipline is strong and where it's weak. There are people in this room, this is no lie, that have a spreadsheet running in their minds. Right now, it's developing right now in their minds to talk about self-discipline because they love this topic so much. And then there's the majority of us who are like, all right, great. So here comes the guilt trip. He's going to talk to me about self-discipline, and this is going to be a lot of fun. Not really, because I tried the self-discipline thing before, and it did not go well. So I am not exactly excited to hear about you and hear what you have to say. And now there's this guy that Pastor Eric brought in, and he's going to talk to me about all the areas of my life that need improving. This is going to be great. This is going to be great. Well, I want to talk to both groups, those of you who are excited about things, the topic of self-discipline, and those of you who dread the topic of self-discipline. And that is that all of us are doing better than we think in certain areas of our lives when it comes to self-discipline, and all of us have areas where we could improve with self-discipline because we are human and we are in process of becoming who God wants us to be. There's a passage in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. It talks about self-discipline. I want to read it to you as kind of our theme verse for today. It says this. It says, for the moment, how much discipline seems painful rather than pleasant? How much? All of it seems painful rather than pleasant. But when? Later, it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. Let me read it again. You fill in the blanks. For the moment, all seems painful rather than what? But it yields peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who have been. Thank you. Very good. Yeah. You had too much coffee, I think. In other words, listen, and we all know this. that when it comes to self-discipline, the pain is on the upfront side and the reward is on the back end. And that is the opposite of temptation, which we're going to talk about in just a little bit. But one of the best tools I've ever seen to help us visualize the different areas of our lives that really require focus and attention is something that the late Zig Ziglar developed. It's called the Wheel of Life. It looks kind of like this, and it is filled with these main categories or spokes of our lives. And so these are the main categories or spokes of our lives. You could basically narrow down your life into one of these six categories. Okay? And the idea behind the Wheel of Life that is that if the wheels or the spokes are somewhat balanced, if you're focusing on each of these different areas or spokes of your life, that your life is going to roll pretty well. But if you decide not to focus on an area, if you decide to neglect it or spend a lot of time in one or these areas, but like no time in the other areas, it's going to get warped. And it's going to look kind of like this. And a life like that, it doesn't roll along. You sort of just limp along through life. And I like, in honor of America 250 this summer, which we're going to be celebrating, I want to honor Abraham Lincoln with a quote that he said about self-discipline. He wrote this. He said, "Self-discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most." It's almost like he read from Hebrews chapter 12. And his quote could either be very inspiring to us, or it could be very depressing to us. Or maybe in some areas of your life it is inspiring, in other areas it's a little depressing because you have a lot of room to grow. Now, I want to pause for just a second, and I want to speak to those of you who are specifically followers of Jesus. You've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior to be the leader of your life. If you are not in that camp, I first want to say, super glad you're here. I want you to hear this message. Would love for you to consider following Jesus. But this part is not for you. But this part is mandated by Scripture for those of us who are followers of Jesus. And that is that God is not just a spoke on the wheel. He is the hub of the wheel. He is the center of everything, that all these different spokes of our lives, they revolve around God at the center, and that everything filters out through him, through his Spirit that works within us. Because here's the truth, and I'm going to prove this through a scripture verse. The truth is that you are not a physical being having a spiritual experience. Pastor Carlos, my Nicaraguan brother, just got up here. Did you hear a little Nicaraguan in him? Did you hear it? Oh, I love it. I love it. He doesn't say the, he says duh, duh. I throw up the hands and praise you again. I love it so much. I love that guy. But anyway, you know, he was leading us through an experience, right? He and the team were up here. And so it would be easy to think, oh, I just had a spiritual experience, but I am a physical person. No, I'm here to tell you that you are a spiritual being having a physical experience right now, your entire life. In fact, Paul was writing to his mentee, his name is Timothy, and he wrote this to his mentee. He said, "Physical training is of some value," okay? It's a good thing. "But godliness, understanding that you are a spiritual being, godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." Now, it says physical training is of some value. But if we were to put that spoke wheel back up for just a moment, you could really replace that with another spoke and say something like financial training is of some value, right? Like it's good to be wise with your finances. But that's not the end all be all. It says you need to focus on godliness because that has value right now, but also long into the future. In fact, it has eternal implications. So, Why is it important that we do this? Well, it's because we are spiritual beings, and we are beings that are temporarily living in an earthly body. So, while we're here, while we have a pulse, what if we were able to focus on these six different areas of our lives, these six different spokes, to improve in order to make our lives more well-balanced, in order to honor God in each of these six spokes of our lives? See, the truth is that we know deep down in that discipline works, don't we? We understand that. We fully agree with old Abe's quote, right? This logic is airtight, all right? There's no question about that. The problem is that you and I know what is right, and yet often we don't do it, right? It's so hard. Why is that? What is that thing that causes it to be so hard? Well, it's a little word called temptation. Temptation. It could be defined as this. Temptation is the desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. For example, let me give it to you this way. There are three different types of people in this room. Okay, there are people, this is going to relate. Trust me, if there's any analogy that's going to land, it's going to be this one. There are people who love salty food, salty snacks, people who love sweet snacks, and then there's people like me who say, why choose? Why choose? Let's just go with both of them. In other words, if you were to put a bag of Doritos in front of me, consider them eaten. Same with a Hershey Kiss. But if you were to take a pretzel and dip it in chocolate, salty and sweet, now we're talking and I have no hope for being able to hold back, right? Is anybody with me? Temptation is the desire to do something that is especially something that is wrong or unwise. And by the way, we're not just talking about chocolate-covered pretzels here. We're talking about real temptations, like the stuff that can really make a long negative impact on your life. There are people in this room where that your finances, you have no financial freedom at all. In fact, you're living up to here in debt, consumer debt. And the reason is because you get tempted every single time you get on your Amazon Prime app and you see, oh, there's a flash deal. And you can't help but hit that button because it's just so easy. It's linked to my card and then it shows up at my door. And the debt just keeps going like this because of the temptation of the things that you're seeing on that app. For some of you, it's your email. In fact, for some of you, your phone in your pocket has buzzed at some point during this service. And it buzzed, and you know that it is a work email. And you know that you could just take just a little second to go ahead and just respond to that, because if I do it now, I won't have to do it later. Right? If I do it now, I don't have to do it later. And it's one thing to do it whenever, you know, JD's up here speaking, but it's another thing when you're sitting with your family and your kids are there and you're like, hey, I'll be with you in just a, yeah, you're doing good, yeah. Let me just respond to this text, right? It's a conviction of mine, I know that. There are people in this room where your temptation is, you want companionship and love and to feel valued so badly that you are running from negative toxic relationship to negative toxic relationship over and over and over again. And you know that it's not right. You know that it's bad. You know that that's not the right person for you. And yet you allow the temptation of now trump what you want most later. And then we all have temptations when we're alone, right? When we're on a screen, when no one's around, and it's just us. And we have these little lies that I'm going to tell you about in a minute that whisper into our head that no one's going to find out. It's going to be fine. And so we click, and we watch, or we listen, or we do. These habits that form that eventually... The temptation doesn't even have to try too hard because we're so hooked into the thing that we're doing that it has just taken control of our lives. There are a million examples of temptations out there, moments when something is unwise or is wrong, but we don't care because we want it now versus what we know we need most. And temptation, it's tricky. It's tricky because it promises us certain things. It lies to us in certain ways. And it says to us, hey, this is going to feel good. What you're about to do is no big deal. You're not going to get caught. It's fine. It's basically harmless. It looks good, it feels good, and it ends bad. It ends bad. Maybe not right away, but eventually it leads to destruction. I'm not much of a fisherman, but I have been fishing a few times throughout my life. And this one particular time, I went to this beautiful lake where you could literally see to the bottom of the lake. I could see the fish swimming around. I felt like I was cheating because I could see what I was trying to catch, right? And so I cast my line. I'm literally staring at the fish. Like, I'm standing on the line. I see where the fish are. I throw my bait right into, off my pole, right into the water. I'm watching this one fish, super interested. He's a very intrigued fish by my bait. He comes swimming up. Takes a little sniff. Do fish sniff? It seemed like he sniffed. I don't know. But anyway, he... And then he swam away. But then he was like, that thing's still sitting there. He went right back up to it, gave it another sniff, but he backed away. So I was like, I reeled in my line, changed my bait, buried that hook, threw it back in, and bam, got him. It was perfect. See, this is what temptation looks like. Listen, you grab that thing and you put it in your mouth, and I can guarantee you it is going to taste good. It is going to feel good. The problem is, there is a hook inside of it. Every single there is a hook. That's exactly how temptation works. See, you and I, we have a real enemy. And his ways are not random. His ways are not accidental. He is a mastermind at deception. In making things look appealing, feel appealing in the moment, and he makes things and manufactures things that are almost irresistible to us. See, temptation, it doesn't hide the hook because it's weak. No, it hides the hook because it's good at its job. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible is incredibly practical and helpful in daily life. And there's a guy named James who wrote the book of James. And James is actually the half-brother of Jesus. A lot of people don't realize that. Half-brother of Jesus. They have the same mom, but very, very different dads. Don't be confused about that. And so he starts off this one particular verse with two words in James 1:13. And he says this, when tempted. Notice, it doesn't say if tempted. It doesn't say for the rare few who occasionally are tempted. He says when tempted. If you ever want to know if you are going to grow out, be so spiritually mature in your Christian faith that you grow out of being prone to temptation, just ask Jesus. Because as he was entering into ministry, he was tempted by the evil one. You and I will never grow out of being tempted by something. James goes on to say, he says, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Enticed. I want to focus on that word. That word enticed in the original Greek, you want to know what it means? It literally means to be baited like a fish. To be enticed is to be baited. And here's the part that stings a little bit. And that is that you and I, we wouldn't bite into that temptation if there weren't something inside of us that wanted to. We are always going to have this tension inside of us. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, there's this tension inside of us that we have Jesus living inside of us through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we accept Jesus in, we have this tension of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and then we have our old fleshly nature. And they're constantly tugging and pulling against each other, right? Always tugging and pulling against each other. And so whenever that happens, and we are tempted to do the wrong thing. When we fall into that, we are falling into our sinful earthly nature versus allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. And that is because we are enticed. We are baited by something, by some sort of temptation. In other words, James is saying, no one is really a victim when it comes to falling in temptation. We are all volunteers. That's literally what he's saying. Now, I just want to be clear. This is not God shaming you for falling into temptation. No, this is God showing you what is true through his word. It's showing you that their truth is in there and that the truth is the first step you need to know in order to change. You see, a fisherman's whole entire purpose is to make the bait look so good, make it look so appealing, and to bury the hook that it becomes invisible, that you do not see the hook. And every temptation, it works, even though they're all different. They work and say the same kinds of things. It whispers things, like I have in my notes, I have here. It whispers things like, you deserve it. It whispers, you'll be fine. It whispers, no one's gonna know. It whispers, why don't you just give up? It's not worth it. You're not worth it. It whispers, just this once. It whispers, just this once, and next time you can do it different. Sound familiar? That's the bait talking. And James, he has a word for what that bait is doing to you when you're being baited, being enticed. He says this in the next verse. He says, don't be deceived. That's the word. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. When you believe what the bait tells you, you are being deceived. The bait is lying to you. It always has, and it always will. Always. So what do we do? What do we do when temptation comes lurking? And it will. It will within 5 minutes of this service being over, for sure. What do we do? Well, I want to give you the bottom line of my message, and this is it. This is everything that I'm saying boiled down to four words. You ready for it? When temptation comes knocking, I want you to look for the hook. Look for the hook. In other words, this is not a three-point sermon. This is not some, seven steps to finding freedom. This is simply four words that you can boil my entire message down to, and that is to look for the hook. Because here's what I know about the fish. A fish that asks, where's the hook inside that bait? They get caught a whole lot less. And here's what I know about you. When you ask inside that temptation, where is the lie? Where's the hook? You take away a lot of that temptation's power because you know that there's something inside of that temptation trying to get you, trying to hook you. So what does that actually look like? Well, it comes with asking ourselves one simple question whenever temptation shows up, and that is this. Where is the hook? Where's the hook? Where is it? Not, can I get away with this? Not, how bad could it really be? No, where is the hook? My man Neil has another fishing pole. For those of you watching online, those are several $50 bills, real ones, that are hanging out. You can make them a little more tempting if you want. Just can put them right down in front. Yeah. Listen. I don't know what your temptation is right now. I don't know if it's something to do with what's hanging on the end of that fishing line or if it's something entirely different. But what I do know is this, is that whatever it is, it looks really, really good to you. You believe, and you might be right, that it will feel really, really good if you get it. I do know that. But can I tell you something else? There's a hook in there. And if you reach for it, you are gonna get hooked by the one who has deceived you from the day you were born, the evil one, the enemy who is trying to get you to get hooked. But see, so many of us, we've believed for so long that it was actually God who's trying to make things difficult on us. That God doesn't want me to have any fun. That God doesn't want me to do that because God, you know, he's a killjoy. No. God is not trying to stop you from having fun or in order for you to, you know, have good things. No, what he's trying to do is he's trying to keep you from the bad thing that's buried within that temptation. You think he's not wanting me to have fun because he doesn't want me to have that temptation. He's like, no, no, no. There's something buried in there and you can't see it. You're so deceived. You've been baited and enticed. You got to trust me. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, the Lord says. And you got to believe me that I love you. I love you so much that I'm going to protect you from that thing, as opposed to saying, no, go ahead. Take a bite. Take a bite. Let's give it up for my man, Neil. I want you to think about, what is it that you're being tempted by most right now in your life? If you really think about it, what is the area of your life where you're being tempted most? What is the lie that that temptation is trying to tell you? Can you think of what it's trying to say? Is it trying to say something like, I've had a really rough week. I deserve this. Is it saying, hey, listen, we're probably going to get married anyway. What's the difference? Is it saying, hey, if I just had a little bit more, then I wouldn't worry anymore. I'd be fine. I don't know what it's saying. If it's saying, I'll stop just one more time. Just one more time. Before you bite into that, ask yourself, where is the hook? What's the catch? What is the hook in this temptation? Because there is one. There's always one. But the thing you need to know about the hook when it comes to temptation is it's never visible at the onset. It's always very well packaged and hidden. Amen. Amen. But the good news is this. The good news is that once you see the hook, the bait loses most of its power. Let me say that again. That once you see the hook inside that temptation, it loses most of its power. So maybe we don't need more willpower. Maybe we just need more awareness that there's a hook inside that temptation. Now listen, I know that there are some folks sitting in here today, and you're hearing this message and you are feeling downright defeated because you have been hooked in a deep way. You're not just hearing a message about temptation and about self-discipline and about falling into temptation. No, you are living smack dab in the middle of that temptation and you have given in and you are hooked. Like majorly, majorly hooked. And maybe there's a voice inside of your head that is saying, you know what, I'm too far into this. I'm too deep. The hook has been set. There's no way out for me. There's no possible way for this to end in a positive way. God has to be done with me. Can I tell you something? God is not done with you. He is there for you. So for you that he was willing to send his son to the cross to die for your sins. The sins, by the way, are the ones that you take whenever you bite that bait, when you bite into that temptation and you get hooked. Just remember that you and I, we hooked Jesus to the cross. That's how much he's there for you. Jesus is so there for you that Scripture says that you will never be tempted beyond what you can bear. You have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Scripture says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that is inside of you. You will never be tempted more than you can bear. Jesus is so for you that even when you fail, even when you said last time would be the last time, he is still willing to walk alongside of you. And that's because Jesus, he's a visionary. And Jesus sees a version of you that has learned to ask the right question. Where is the hook? And he wants to walk with you, and he is walking with you. He has not failed or forsaken you. He has not left you in the dust. He loves you, but he loves you so much that he wants the version that asks the right question to be the one that does it consistently in your daily life, because he has something better for you. That's how for you Jesus is. That's why Freedom Church, that's why it exists. See, from Pastor Eric's heart, this church wasn't built by some ministry strategy or some book that he read. No, this story and of this church was built out of a rescue story of his life. A rescue story of a guy who had been hooked in a major, major way. And he knows what it's like to be on the end of the hook and to feel the pain and to know what it's like. And he knows that through the power of Jesus that you can be redeemed, that you can be unhooked, and that you can be set free. Amen. That's why Freedom Church exists. And I also think it's a little ironic that you're here on the weekend that baby Brielle joins us for the very first time. I think she exited stage right, but I'm not sure. Did she exit stage right? Yeah, I understand. I'm boring. But anyway, I think it's funny that you are here, and maybe it's just a coincidence that you're here. Maybe it's not. But I think it's such a picture of a brand new baby walking into this church. She's been, how many days has she been alive? Huh? 9 days since she's been born. New life and new beginnings. What if today Jesus wanted to give you a new life and a new beginning? What if Jesus knows that you're hooked by something right now and he wants to unhook you and set you free so that you're no longer enticed by the evil one anymore? And so, as we close out this message, I just want to give you one takeaway. This isn't 3 points. This isn't 7 steps toward freedom. It's just one statement that is 4 words long, and that is this: when it comes to temptation, look for the hook. Look for the hook, because when you do, when you look for the hook inside of that temptation, through the power of God's Spirit that lives inside of you, and through his wisdom, not your own, you will experience the power to overcome those temptations in a way that you never thought possible. In a second, I want to pray for us. But before we do, I want to encourage you to come back next weekend. Pastor Eric is going to be starting a summer series about Old Testament figures and characters that we can learn principles and practical steps of how to live our lives today. This is important for 2 reasons. For some of us, we don't know much about the Bible. We don't know much about the Old Testament or things like that. And he's going to uncover some of the historical side of things and help you to kind of get context of the Old Testament, which is cool. But equally, or if not more importantly, he's going to say, and this is how it applies to us today in this 21st century. It's going to be a powerful series, and I want to encourage you to join him as he does that. So would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you for this opportunity. I'm super honored to be here today at Freedom Church. I pray for Pastor Eric and Rachel and their new addition to their family, and I pray that you would give them sleep, and I pray that you would give them joy and laughter, and that this would be a time, a sweet, sweet time that they would never forget in their lives. But I also know that he is being pulled in 17 different directions, if not more. And he has this church that he's trying to pastor and this family he's trying to lead. And I pray, Lord, that you would give him the power of your Holy Spirit in a way he has never experienced it before. That you would give him favor with other people. That you would, whenever he speaks, it would just connect with the hearts of the people who are hearing him. That his vision would transcend this church, and it would permeate our community. And that you would make a difference in and through Freedom Church. God, I pray for each and every person that's in this room and those that are watching online. for those who have never accepted Jesus as their Savior, and they don't have God at the center of the hub of the wheel of life, that they're like, I realize I'm missing something major. God, I recognize that it's as simple as them just saying, Jesus, I believe you died for me on a cross, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior, and I give you my life. It's not my life anymore. I'm giving it to you. And that would be the thing, the ingredient that would change everything, that would actually allow for freedom to really occur. And God, I also want to pray for the people in this room, Christian or not, who are majorly hooked right now on something. Some sort of prescription drug or recreational drug. Something with their sexuality. Something in their lives that no one knows, and they can walk around and they can put a front on and they can make it look like it's all good and everything's fine when everything is not fine, because they are squirming like a fish on a hook. God, could you gently and carefully extract that hook from them? And through community at Freedom Church, could you give them people that could walk alongside of them and help them experience that freedom from that thing? And God, that person, whoever it is that I'm speaking to, that they wouldn't wait 3 minutes after this service is over, that they would reach out to someone that they trust and that is a follower of Jesus that can give them guidance, and that they would say, listen, I'm dealing with this. I need help. Can you help me? Because they can't do this alone. God, be with each of us this week and beyond as we are tempted by different things. God, help us to look for the hook. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Thanks, brother.
Let's give God a great big hand for Pastor JD. That was a great, great word. And we're going to receive an offering this morning. Two things we're going to do, and I want to read to you first out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. It says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. It's one of our key verses of Freedom Church, and really, when we use the freedom that we've received to help other people get free, that's walking these verses out. That's what God wants us to do, is not just get us free for our benefit, but when we receive freedom, we now use it to bless other people. And one of the ways we do that, one of the many ways, is through financial giving. You know, our church, Freedom Church, many people don't know, we survive off of people's generous donations, your willful donations, cheerfully giving to your tithe, your offerings, to give to Freedom Church so that we can exist, so that more people can know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make an impact. So I want to encourage you, if you've never given, or you say you don't know how to give, the ways to give are on the screen. But what it really is, and I shared this at the last service, there's often a lot of fear involved with finances, a lot of fear of the unknown, fear of the economy, fear of the cost of gas, fear of all these things. When you watch the media, there's a lot of fear. But God's word says over and over again to fear not, but to trust God as your provider, to trust him with everything. He's the center hub of our entire lives. One of those important spokes is our finances. And when we give generously, we are a generous church and a generous people, God's blessing follows. So as you consider giving, there's several ways to do that. Cash or check in the box in the giving station in the back. You can give online. You can scan the QR code on the screen or use your phone. Hold it to the tap card on the seat back in front of you and follow the prompts there to give. Also, one of the things we want to do is we want to be able to bless Pastor JD. How we're going to do it is you can write, if you put cash or check in the giving station, make sure to put it in an envelope and mark it accordingly. Put Pastor JD, put guest speaker on there. Just make sure to notate it so that whatever we receive will get to him to help care for him, his family, his kids as well. And as just a gift that he is to the kingdom, we want to bless that. If you're going to give online or through Church Center, you can pick. There's only two options: general fund, which is your regular giving, regular tithes and offering. There's also missions. Click missions for today, and we're going to make sure we track all that so that he gets to receive that offering. If you want to give something above and beyond to Pastor JD, I encourage you to do that. Let's be generous, and let's bless him and his family. But before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word. God, I thank you for what you've put inside Pastor JD to share with us this morning. God, I know it's going to break off chains, off bondage, off mindsets, off of so many of us. God, I pray that every single one of us would take hold of your word, of the truth, that we would look for the hook, and God, that we would truly walk in freedom, and we'd use our freedom to help bless others as well. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, if you're new, like Pastor JD is, to Freedom Church, we want to invite you to fill out a connection card. Two ways you can do that. You can hold your phone to the tap card in front of you. You can scan the QR code on the screen behind me. We also have paper connection cards at the connection point on the left on your way out the door. What that is a way that we're going to be able to keep you informed and up to date on things happening here at Freedom Church. We have several things scheduled through the summer. We want to help you stay connected, be involved, how you can serve, how you can give, how you can really be in the community as we're going to be doing several things this summer. But first off, today, in just a few moments, we have what we call Next Steps. Next Steps, we have two Sundays a month after our 11 a.m. service. It's about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. We have food provided, childcare provided, if you RSVP. So we do have today, even if you weren't planning on staying, we welcome you to stay. We're going to be starting in about 15 minutes out the back doors to the left. There's a room, a classroom, where we're going to meet in about 15 minutes. I'll be back there hosting that time with you. We invite you to stay. Learn more about Freedom Church. Learn more about how God has uniquely gifted you and how you can make an impact in other people's lives. That's what Next Steps is all about. So you can sign up for the next one, or you can plan to stay today. And last but not least, we have Summer of Serving. This is the next opportunity. We're going to have a whole list of events and opportunities for you to sign up to participate in next Sunday as well. But this one's coming up soon. So on June 27th, in just under 3 weeks from today, we're having an opportunity for you to serve on that Saturday. So we're having a save the date. We'll have an RSVP going on our website as well as next Sunday available for you. We're going to be serving different outreaches. One's going to be an export at the Community Outreach Center next to Friends Thrift Shop. We're going to be at Griff's Ice Cream, buying people ice cream, just being on the trail, being in the community, looking for several serving opportunities this summer. Also, last Friday, for those of you who might not have known this, we actually paid Groove Coffee to set up their cart at the high school and provide coffee, lattes, and everything for the teachers, for the staff. They loved it, greatly appreciated it, and so great working with a local business such as Groove, and I heard all great things about it. I was supposed to be there, but Rachel was in the hospital with the baby, so I was more needed somewhere else. But Summer of Serving coming up. Look for those dates. Look for the opportunities for more ways you can serve. And everything's going to be, most of the things are going to be very family-friendly, available for everyone to participate in. If you could please stand to your feet, I'm going to pray one more time, and then you'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that we would take hold of your word, God, that we would leave today, God, looking for that hook. God, everything that was spoken today, whether it's revealing and identifying where we're being hooked, or God, I pray, God, even just a celebration of all those things that we used to be hooked on, and now, God, we want to be hooked to you. God, we want to be addicted to you. We want to be passionately living our lives for you and you alone. God, we thank you for the victory. We thank you for the freedom that comes in your presence and having a relationship with you. God, I thank you that you provide that for us. God, I pray for each and every person here, a blessing upon them, upon their families, upon their finances, upon their health. God, bless them, God, so we go out and be your church. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. See you next week.